Welcome to the Athlete Plus Network. It's the official podcast network of the Institute of Coaching Excellence, a research and education outreach center in the College of Health and Human Performance at the University of Florida. I'm Kevin Carr, CEO of Protoceo and industry professor at UF. I serve also as the host of The Hit Show, which means how I transition career-wise. The Hit Show is a podcast devoted to the current and former athletes on and off the court, field, track, or diamond, and the unique people behind the scenes who support these elite athletes, coaches, teams, organizations, and their unique transition stories of how they got to where they are. And this is all an effort to improve the profession. Today's going to be an amazing show. I've got my longtime dear friend here, administrator Kim Duran, and we're going to get into the bio, so let me give you her proper flowers, as they call it. Kim Duran served as Deputy Athletics Director for Student Services and is a Senior Women Administrator at the University of Washington in Seattle. In her role, Duran leads and manages all student-athlete academic services and student-athlete development programs. She serves on the UW Athletics and manages all executive leadership team and is a sports administrator for baseball, men's tennis, women's tennis, etc. Duran is actively engaged in a National Association of Academic Advisors for Athletics and Student Athlete Development Professionals. I'm part of this organization too. Long time. Shout out to N4A. She was the national president for the N4A between 2014 and 15, and served as the director of Professional Development Institute, which I've gone through as well, in 2005 and through 22. She's also been awarded 2011 N4A Lon Hewlett Award, recognizing sustained professional service in the field of academic advising for student athletes and significant contributions to the field through her professional involvement, development, and leadership in university affairs. In 2019, she also received the N4A Distinguished Service and recognized for her career service to the organization. Without further ado, I welcome Kim Duran to the show. Welcome to the Hit Show, Kim.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm really excited to do this and spend some time with you and your listeners.
Absolutely. And we're glad to have you. You know, there's probably very few people I can say who knew me back then. You are one of those people professionally where we started out kind of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, kind of energetic about what the future had for our careers. We're just kind of starting out. And truly, we've both been in this game for a minute. So today, we're going to go back, and then we're going to go forward and everything in between. So my first question for you, Kim, is take us back to just who Kim is. Who is Kim Duran?
Yeah, complicated question to start. My path and who I am is non-traditional. I was not a good athlete at all. I loved sports, but I've always told people that my love for sports really started following my dad around. So from a young age, I was exposed. I was not an athlete, as I said, but I used to help my dad recruit. I grew up in a household with a sister that was a nationally ranked tennis player. So there was a family commitment. So I really grew up with a love of sports, although I was not an athlete, or, you know, obviously even at the high school level. But I also had a passion for education. And so trying to figure out how I could merge those passions really started at a really young age. I was always the one, and, you know, when you play in the neighborhood, I was the one that was the teacher teaching, you know, kids in the neighborhood, tutoring in elementary and middle school. So it was always something I really aspired to. I just didn't know you could have a career that kind of merged those things. Grew up in a great household. I had really supportive parents. My Title IX story, to be honest, is I had a mom who was a nationally, a high school All-American swimmer, but she was in the pre-Title IX days. And so after high school, there was no opportunity for her to earn a scholarship and an education. And so yet a generation later, athletics and what had happened gave my sister a four-year scholarship and a college education and really helped me build a now 30-year career in sports. So very grateful to that. Grateful that I had parents that really challenged me to be the best I could be and fostered my passion and, pushed me you know, said I was going to have to work hard and gave that model for me. And so that's kind of what carried me through once I pretty much found what I wanted to do. And that's really shaped how I am in my professional life, certainly how I am with my personal life in terms of support and helping others grow, because that was largely my experience.
That's awesome. You know, one of the things I want to ask is you've had a really impressive journey here from advisor. Take us from that step where you could share what it took to get to the next level and the next level. And now you're sitting as a senior administrator. So take us through that journey of what kind of got you there.
Yeah, you know, I went to college thinking I was going to be a clinical psychologist. And so was a psych major, then kind of got through that and thought, you know, I don't want to go to grad school. So anything you're going to do in psychology, you have to go to grad school. So I kind of pivoted and also majored in communications, which I loved. But really what got me started is I started as a student worker in the athletic department, in the football offices, back in the day, literally stuffing envelopes. I would go in for hours at a time and stuff recruiting envelopes. And that was my first exposure to what else was available in an athletic department. I knew there were coaches. I knew there were athletic trainers. I knew somebody sold tickets, but I had no idea kind of the breadth and depth of the services and what it took to run an athletic department, but then had a front row seat as a student. And so after that, had some great mentors, which is actually something that I know we can get into, but that's really what I attribute my success to over time. And then went to grad school, was willing to do anything to get graduate school paid for. So went to at Oregon also, which is where I went to school, was willing to do anything. I was a student assistant to the SWA. I was the cheerleading coach. I'd never been a cheerleader before. I did not have any of those skills. I didn't know how to critique. I did not know anything. I didn't know how to plan travel, nothing. So it was an opportunity for me to learn on the fly to do something way out of my comfort zone. And then I worked in the academics and compliance office, just basically, again, learning that at that point there was one full-time person and two interns, two graduate assistants, and that was the whole department. But I learned a lot, and that prepared me then. I was willing to go anywhere in the country. Once I found this career path, I was willing to go anywhere. And so my second year of grad school, I hand-typed 85 letters, cold calls with my resume, and sent them to 85 athletic departments. Yeah. This was obviously, this dates me. Wow. There were not computers. There were not mail merges. But I was willing to go anywhere to do this. So I sent out 85 letters that says, hey, basically you don't know me, but I really want to be in this field. And if you have something open, I would certainly be interested in talking to you. And to this day, I have a lot of people that didn't have jobs, but took the time to write back. And so some of the, you know, legends in athletics that were athletic directors or senior administrators wrote some pretty inspirational notes back to me. And that kind of kept me going and thought, you know, I'm all on the right track. They may not have a job, but yeah, I think they respected that I had hand typed these letters and sent them anywhere without job openings. And so, yeah, that's how it started. My first opportunity was at the University of Kansas. I was hired fresh out of grad school to be an academic advisor for student athletes. Real blessing. I didn't at the time think I wanted to live in Lawrence, Kansas. I was a West Coast kid, but I did it. And it was the best part of my journey, because I learned from an outstanding program, had great mentors and leaders on what a great athletic department academic services unit looks like, and had leaders that were examples on how to treat people, how to do the work every day, how to mentor and grow your staff. So I took those skill sets, was hired at UCLA, probably, to be honest with you, soon before I was ready to be an academic director, but really relied on a lot of the skills I had observed and the mentoring I had had. So became the academic director at UCLA. Was there about 6 years, had an opportunity then to come to Washington. And quite frankly, that was not only a great professional move, but at the meantime, I had met my now husband. And we were trying to make personal decisions on where we wanted to live, near family and all of that. So Washington came open. They recruited me to the position, started just being the director here. Had, again, blessed to have great mentors. Best leader I've ever had was our previous athletic director, Jen Cohen, who's now the AD at USC. Again, learned from great leadership. And over time, she added things to my plate, not because I necessarily asked for it. I was really happy with what I was doing. But those increased opportunities around sports administration, being on the senior leadership team of the athletic department, really grew and stretched me. And then she leaves for USC. We have a brand new athletic director. He's been here just a few months, Troy Dannon. And as he came in and did kind of analysis and a reorganization, obviously, I think we worked well from a very early time in his tenure here. And he decided to consolidate all of student services. So everything that touches student athletes under one area, and that's mine now. So instead of just two units, I oversee about seven. But everything that impacts student athletes. And then I serve as the representative along with Troy at the Big Ten. We're transitioning to the Big Ten Conference. So I'm in all those national landscape meetings and certainly helping Washington transition to the Big Ten Conference.
Wow. That's a mouthful there. And there's so much richness in all of those things. There's so many opportunities that you mentioned. The one thing that sticks out is the 85 letters and the drive and the determination to not have a job, but to get that answer back and, hey, don't quit. And I think that's real important for anybody who's sort of going out one time and two times and three times, 85 times here. Okay. And to me, I think that speaks to why a little bit of, to, you know, your early career success. So talk to us about, you know, your role as, you know, in college athletics, it's important. We've got things like all kinds of new things happening. Why do you think still there's a crucial need for roles like yours, particularly focusing on student athlete academic services and development programs?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's easy if you're just paying attention to sports on TV or you know, what you're hearing on social media. At the end of the day, I'm a firm believer that none of us have positions unless we have well-rounded, successful, holistic student athletes. And I'm thrilled that that's really been part of my journey, and that's the foundation of my career. And that there are a lot of people in the, you know, in college athletics that's their grounding point, and that's why they serve students. Without that, with unhealthy student athletes, with student athletes that aren't advancing and growing, without student athletes that aren't taking advantage of educational opportunities, for some, an opportunity to earn a degree, the rest of the enterprise falls apart, right? And I think, you know, there's a lot of unfortunate stories about how those student athletes, particularly in revenue sports, can be exploited. And I think we, in large part, make true on the promises that coaches and athletic departments make to student athletes and their families in the recruiting process, that this is going to be part of a holistic experience. And so I think that's really what our commitment is, continuing to make good on the promises that we make at the beginning, and making sure that we're growing future leaders and people that are going to be successful community members and provide with an education. And I think no matter what's swirling around us, that's at the end of the day, that's the core of what collegiate athletics should be.
You know, I've done on a much lower level some of this work, being an advisor like you and associate director under the late Dr. Gruders at Michigan State and Florida State. You know, I used to liken what we do as an extension of coaching, meaning we're the off the field coaches. Yeah. And I do still believe that, you know, coaching you to success away from the game is as important as your strength and conditioning, as important as your position coach. People don't always grasp that. I think right now the part of athletics that I think is still the one that will last the next 40 years is the education part. So I just want to commend you for just really continuing to help that part stay true. You know, your role also as deputy athletic director and senior administrator is significant. How do you believe your role, your position, helps the entire organization better understand the needs of student athletes and women, particularly who are in leadership or helping women's issues come more to the forefront in athletics?
I think somewhat is that in my role, I'm at leadership tables where big time decisions are being made. And it can be a wide variety of things, media rights, conference realignment, you know, NIL, all of those things that we're hearing. I'm sitting and listening at those tables. And largely my responsibility is to make sure we don't forget about the students and prioritize that we are a multi-billion dollar business, make no mistake, but we are housed in institutions of higher education. And we believe in equitable practices. We believe in educating and graduating student athletes. We believe in giving men and women opportunities that probably they wouldn't, in some cases, wouldn't otherwise have. And that voice and that service, the services we provide in order for them, need to have an equal or in many cases, a larger part in that conversation. And so I think someone who's grown up in the business, literally over 30 years, and really worked not only on the academic and student athlete development piece, but with strength coaches and with athletic medicine and with mental health services, that kind of breadth of experience is really important so that I can be that voice in those rooms when largely the conversations are about revenue and NIL and conference realignment and media negotiations and all those things.
Awesome. You know, outstanding response. You know, and with recent changes, you mentioned NIL, you know, how's your department navigating this landscape to support student athletes effectively?
I'm chuckling when you say that because literally it's changing on a daily basis. And that's no exaggeration. Last Friday, there was obviously the NCAA injunction. We're getting interpretations from our conference, you know, conference peers, conference offices on what all this means. So something that was true on Thursday of last week is not true today, Thursday, a week later. So we have to be nimble and all of that. We go back in our department to what's our core and what's our center, and that's education. So our NIL program has been largely centered around providing resources and education for our student athletes that want to take advantage of NIL. So that's financial literacy. That's how you pay taxes. It's, you know, what liability, if you're running your own company or you're doing different things, what kind of liability insurance do you have? So we really attack it from there. We have a great partnership with our Foster School of Business that actually marketing professor teaches an NIL course that's open to all students around how to market your branding, marketing, great solid business practices. So that's really been our core, largely because obviously athletic departments can't be directly connected to the collectives or making NIL deals, but we can hopefully prepare our student athletes who want to take advantage of those opportunities so that they're educated and can make smart business decisions for themselves and, you know, and kind of go into those ventures eyes wide open.
Yeah, I know it's, as you know, people say it's like the Wild Wild West, but having been a long time person in athletics and our business still deals with collegiate clients, I would probably argue in modern day athletics, at least in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, I've not seen as big as disruptor to sports at the collegiate
Without
level.
A doubt.
That I've seen with NIL, and I don't think that's going
Absolutely.
To change. So, yeah, we share how much and complexity is coming, yet still with it. So, good luck.
Thank you.
On that, could you share some key lessons? You talked about mentoring and such you've learned from influential people, and I know you know some good ones in your career, but mm-hmm. take us to, you know, your most seminal moment, sentimental, or some of those key things where they shaped you and just struck you and you've held on to them and it's become a part of your leadership style.
Yeah, you know, like I said, I think I should start by saying I've been really blessed to both men and women mentors that I've had, both inside athletics and outside. Mm-hmm. And really my goal early on was to just listen a lot and take into account the advice and the perspective that all those people could offer me. I also learned probably more from watching great leaders and watching those that actually do what they say unbelievably consistently, because we can all talk about what we want or what we aspire to, but I have a lot of people that lived their beliefs or their values or what their core was on a daily basis. So if they believed in growing student athletes or staff, there rarely, if ever, were opportunities or situations where they weren't acting on those beliefs or those values or those principles every single day. And so I learned a lot about consistency. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's hard to be consistent, right? In a pressure-packed world and in college athletics, sometimes there is a natural pull to take shortcuts or not do it 100% or not be present with a person that needs your mentoring or your leadership. And so it takes a lot of patience and a lot of discipline. And I learned that from a lot of great leaders. I learned a lot from great leaders about humility, because at the end of the day, especially in the work that we do, it is not about me. It is not about even my staff. It's about who we serve and we serve student athletes. At the next layer up, it's about the staff. I really believe my role, I learned this from my first mentor at the University of Kansas. My role as a leader is to remove barriers from my staff that prevent them from doing the very best they can do one-on-one with student athletes. My previous mentor, Paul Buskirk at Kansas, said that's where the magic happens. When you have skilled professionals who care about students one-on-one, that's the magic. My job is to remove barriers from that, you know, so that that magic can happen every day, every hour, every interaction. And so while I don't have as much student contact with student athletes directly as much as I did earlier in my career, my job is to make sure that my staff, who are far more talented than I am, can bring their best selves and create that magic with the student athletes. And that's really what I've learned mostly about the great leaders and mentors I've had.
Well, I consider you one of the most giving people in sports, and your leadership really is someone that I admire. You've really had a really amazing way of having the gentilia to be caring, but also be highly professional and efficient in your role. So I just want to say, you know, I think your leadership style has been one in which I've admired over the years. So I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I want to continue to wish you, you know, success in that speech. So when we talk about you inspiring people, I think you inspire people like myself and who have for a long time, we've been connected. One of the things I watched you actively engage in organizations, young people tend to say, how do I get there? How did it get there? I think organizations with the right people, you get there. And I think there's a book called People Fuel, and it like having the right people around you can fuel you. I've watched you become actively engaged in organizations like the National Association of Academics and Student Athlete Development Professionals, N4A. Yeah. You have really been like a long time, you know, hallmark in that organization. How has the involvement in N4A impacted your career? Because this is important. Associations, you can be in one, but then you can be in something like N4A, which is right, really, really amazing, it can impact your career. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. I looking back, I was brand new professional at the University of Kansas. For whatever reason, people there didn't engage largely in professional development. And so I took the risk and went to my boss and said, I'd like to go to this conference. And quite frankly, it's because I needed it, right? I needed to learn more. I needed to connect with people that were like-minded. I needed to learn both the X's and O's of my job, but also things that were going to eventually help me. So I went, to be honest, out of need. And then I had to challenge myself because I was the only one from my school. I didn't have a natural clique. I didn't know anybody. And so I didn't want to sit in my hotel room. So I got to know people, and I found that that organization, people were so open and welcoming. It's where I met first Dr. Keith Harrison, because I sat next to him in a workshop, right? We started talking, and now we're lifelong friends and colleagues, and he's mentored me. I've mentored him. That's one example. Then I was hooked, because then it was like, these are my people. Mm-hmm. These are people that think about the work, that are called to this profession, that want to serve others, specifically student athletes. And it's really helping me be better at my job. And so some years I had to pay for myself. I would budget on a tight budget so I could go and continue to get that, that education, that mentoring, that leadership. And then over time, because I'm an old timer, people saw opportunities and wanted me to be in leadership roles. And so I took some of those additional leadership roles on and served on the board of directors and, you know, would go to different, you know, represent that. I ran some different programs. Was a co-director of the Professional Development Institute for 15 years, because that was opportunities to give back. And then ultimately was encouraged by people I really respected in the organization to run for N4A president. And it was probably the most challenging yet rewarding experience I've ever had, personally or professionally. You're leading peers, you're a voice, you're working through your own limitations, building your skill set at a level. So I continue to give back because I love it. And I'm really indebted to the people that came before me. It was the first time, quite frankly, I saw women in large leadership roles. My first convention, there was a female president. And it was the first time for me to say, wow, she kind of looks like me. And maybe in a male dominated world, I could actually do that. And so having those opportunities and seeing what could be if I chose to do that, has been a cornerstone of my career. And then in my commitment to give back to others in the same way. I want other young women and men in the profession to be able to maybe I was the first president for a new member. And now that female says, oh, well, yeah, there was a female president. So I am a firm believer that you have to see it to believe you can do it.
Very well said. Well said. Thank you for that. You know, as a sports administrator for, you know, baseball, and for men's tennis and women's tennis, those are a little bit off the big stage often that you get, except when they get down to the championships, you know, they don't always come up. You know, talk to us about, you know, those sports and the challenges and the rewards of overseeing and making sure that they get their fair exposure and opportunities in sport.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. Literally a couple weeks ago, some of that changed. So I still have some of those sports, but now I'm adding softball and volleyball. So, again, larger profile sports usually, and certainly as we move into the Big Ten. But what working with both men's and women's teams, and it's a great reminder that those really, in some ways, are the pure examples of amateur athletics and college athletics, right? Yes. So a lot of our baseball players have an opportunity to play at the next level, but that's on a bus in the Midwest or whatever. It's not, you don't go from college to the big leagues, right? Same with tennis. A lot of our students are international. So I got exposed to different cultures and experiences And the value of, quite frankly, for so many of them, coming to America and earning an American education that will set them up if they choose to go back to their countries. I think where there's a purity, not that there isn't in all sports, but a purity is, as a leader of those sports, you have these glimpses, whether it's at a practice or a big competition or an unbelievable win that, you know, an upset that they pull, and the joy. There are a lot of examples of the joy of sport, of teamwork, of, you know, working together collaboratively. A lot of those sports, being able to be on the ground floor with all of them, watch great coaching. Those have all provided me glimpses of what that is. And again, keeps you focused in a crazy world about the core and the benefits and the joy, quite frankly, of college sports when it's done right.
So much there, and I wish continued growth in those sports, because often with the bigness of some of the other ones, you don't always hear. But I'm glad you're reminding us here that there's as much pageantry and competitive edge in these, and I hope we can continue to see that. You know, with your background, I would be remiss in education, policy and management. You know, how do you integrate those skills into your role in an administration? I know that there's always a technical side to these jobs. It's way more to it than being out and, you know, working with coaches and stuff. So how do you do the policy and management part?
You know, I think it's, Kevin, you and I've talked about this a lot, that so much of our role is the practitioner, right? The day to day, you kind of figure it out. What for me, my graduate education and educational policy and management, I really had an emphasis in higher education. I knew I wanted to be at the college space. I never aspired to be in the professional sports. It didn't speak to me like college sports. So having an understanding of higher education, the values of it, the history of it, how policy is made, how kind of the big picture organization, that all came from my graduate education. Oh, wow. And the importance of staying connected to campus, not being isolated. Those are like key tenets that I took away from my graduate education. It influences me. How we engage with professors, how we engage with university leadership, whether it's a president or provost or deans. I think I have a baseline understanding that then helps educate me and structures how I engage with those important leaders who influence not only our student athletes, but intercollegiate athletics. So it's a way to build. I'll be honest. I talk with a lot of my researcher friends. I'll read your research article. I think sometimes it's important and valuable takeaways. But at the end of the day, tell me how it relates directly to how I can use your research to better my interactions with my staff and my students. I want to know how it benefits me on the ground. And so how do we translate policy? How do we translate research into practical so we can benefit the day-to-day interactions and the continued growth of our student athletes?
Wow. So important. And I think that's the technical side that you could see your expertise in that space coming out. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that. So, you know, I now have the opportunity to like transition this a little bit. We're going to take it up a little bit. So I'm going to ask you some speed round questions because we're getting close here. All right. So these are one word responses, and these allow us to kind of get into the fun side of Kim Duran. Ready?
Yep. Got it.
All right. So best piece of advice you've ever received?
Outwork everybody.
If you could travel anywhere in the world tomorrow, where would you go?
Greece.
Favorite hobby or pastime outside of work?
Spending time with my niece and nephew.
One word to describe your leadership style?
I'd say servant leadership.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Being able to predict or accurately look into the future. And I would, just because I like to be prepared. and to have a plan.
You like to get ahead and stay ahead, right?
I do.
Your favorite aspect of working in collegiate athletics?
Student athletes, hands down, not even close.
Knew that was coming. One book that has had a significant impact on your leadership philosophy?
A book called The Advantage by Patrick Lencioni. And it's the foundation of our entire athletic department. Our entire athletic department is built based on the tenets of that book.
I like Pat's book. You know, he's done The Dysfunction of Teams, et cetera.
Yeah.
I like him. He's been really good. That's a good one, students, if you're listening. Top priority for student athlete development programs in the next 5 years?
Survive in advance. Being prepared and adaptable to what's coming and continuing to serve student athletes in whatever that our landscape looks like.
Wow. Favorite sports moment you've witnessed in your career so far?
I got three. Okay. Most recently, University of Washington football playing for the national championship. Being the sport administrator for a baseball program that went to Omaha, when went to the College World Series for the first time in school history, and being part of that. And then being a part of our women's basketball team that went to the Final Four for the first time.
Wow, you knocked that straight out the park, Kim. Like, literally like a champ. We knew you would. So I want to begin to transition us to close here. You know, as someone who's deeply involved in athletics, what are some of, like I say, the prevailing issues or challenges within sport that you hope to address and make an impact in the coming years?
This might be a little bit naive, so I'll say that. I'm committed to ensuring that whether our student athletes are students as they currently are or employees, that we are best serving them and giving as many opportunities as possible. College in general is a transformative life or transformable time in probably every person's life that engages with higher education. But with all the noise circling around it, I think it's really important to remember at the core what we're about and to be true to the values of higher education. That is going to come under an unbelievable amount of stress and scrutiny coming forward. It already is, right? With NLRB decisions, are student athletes going to collectively bargain? Are they going to unionize? What does that mean? I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but how are we as an entity moving and shaking and adjusting to basically serve whatever form, college athletics at this level takes?
Yeah. I'm one for evolving, of course, but I think there are three things that I would say as a collegiate administrator that I used to be. I said, number one, we're going to try to provide you the platform to get your education. We should never lose that. Number two, we should put you in a position in which you get to compete, and you can get to compete well for championships and however far that goes. The third is we prepare you for life after here, the best we possibly can. And in between that, you're going to hopefully grow and have these transformative experiences. But I've always held on to that, no matter what, whether it's NIL or whether it's, conference alignments. Fundamentally, we should be helping, if you committed this much as a student athlete, to provide you the platform to do well. And those things, to me, represent the ability, despite the money, despite the changes and alignments and all these other new policies are unionizing. I think that still is fundamental to success.
I couldn't agree more. I think that's exactly why we exist and hopefully why we will continue to exist.
This is why we get along, Kim. You know what I'm saying?
See? These are my people.
Oh my goodness. This is so good. So good. So good. So good. So with that being said, I am going to transition us and say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, we appreciate you being here. And as we wrap up, we'd like for us to share in supporting you as you are moving up, and is there a way we can follow you, consume you, continue to, you know, either like or follow or share or, you know, subscribe to you? Can we link up with you on platforms, et cetera, Kim?
Yeah. So certainly on LinkedIn. To be honest with you, on social media, whether it's Instagram or X, I usually just repost the accomplishments of our student athletes, quite frankly, because, you know, again, amplifying their profile. But yeah, I welcome people to connect with me on LinkedIn is a great opportunity. I'm willing to do some informational interviews. I can't do a ton of them, but if people are patient, like I said, I had a lot of people early in my career that gave time and energy to me, poured into me. And so I'm willing to certainly do that. I'll be at N4A for people that are interested in this field. I'll give a plug in early June. N4A is going to be in Las Vegas. Highly recommend people that are interested in learning more and being a part of a great organization and also getting exposure to the other NACTA affiliates. I'll be there and I encourage others to take part in those things. But yes, please do and follow us, you know, cheer for the Huskies too while you're at it.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of you. You know, you can work in athletics for years and years and never get to the big show. And for you to get there, I'm so proud of you in that moment. I've been fortunate to have a couple, and it was all timing. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can work and work and never get there. So I'm so happy for you. And I hope in your new conference.
I appreciate it, Kevin. That means a lot coming from you.
You're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. So with that, I want to, in closing, the hit show today and the University of Florida wants to thank Kim Duran for being on the podcast today. And we'd love to stay in touch with you, and we want to follow you, and we're going to continue to support you and the Huskies. Okay.
All right.
So this opportunity today, we want to make sure that the call to action today is, as we transition to close, is that the Hit Show should be saved on everybody's podcast to listen, because you learn things about the hidden and most undervalued skill, in my opinion, which is the skill of transition. Everybody will be going to or through or out of something. So you must learn these skills to be successful in business and beyond. At ProtoCO, we want to thank our staff and our team and the University of Florida for the Athlete Plus podcast platform and the Institute of Coaching Excellence, which is in the College of Health and Human Performance at UF. I'm Kevin Carr, host of the show, and our show doesn't end without our signature outro saying, you've listened to Kim Durant on the Hit Show, and we thank Kim for being. Thank you, Kim, and we're out.